1. What will we do without you? I stood in the driveway of our Dallas home, clinging to my mother as the sun rose higher in the sky, and begged her through my tears not to go. I couldn't imagine life without my mother. So great was my grief that I barely noticed her two sister wives saying goodbye to their own children. We had been living there only a short time, having moved yet again on short notice. I'd be sent off to school that day with no explanation as to why my mom had to leave again. Usually, she left without notice and would come back in a few days, or sometimes weeks. This time was different. She didn't know when she would be back. I'm sure Mom felt like she had no other choice. She was obeying my father's order. Irvel LeBaron led the Church of the Lamb of God, a radical offshoot of the Mormon Church, and Anna Mae was the fourth of his 13 wives. Like the other wives, she learned early on to do as she was told. My mom, raised in Arizona, had met and married her second husband, Nephi, when they were both part of the traditional Mormon Church, known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Nephi attended one of Irvel LeBaron's exhaustive talks and eventually bought into my dad's more radical offshoot of Mormonism. He hurried home to tell my mom the way they'd been living out Joseph Smith's teaching was all wrong. When she remonstrated, Nephi invited Irvel to their home to convince my mom that they needed to convert and follow this new prophet. Irvel was powerfully persuasive, so much so that Nephi and my mother not only converted, but agreed to relocate to Colonia LeBaron in Chihuahua, Mexico. Nephi stayed in Arizona to sell their home, but my mom went ahead with their five children. During this transition, she spent an inordinate amount of time with Irvel, who, while tall, handsome, and charismatic, was also narcissistic, entitled, and manipulative. He proclaimed that he had a revelation that it was God's will and plan for my mom's life that she leave Nephi and marry him instead. She fell madly in love with Irvel, and like the other sister wives before and after her, she succumbed to his potent influence. They married, and she had seven more children with him, including me. "Please, Mom, don't go." On the driveway, I wrapped my arms around my mom's waist, my tears dampening the front of her faded denim dress. "Anna Keturah," she said firmly. Like most mothers, Mom always included my middle name when I stirred up trouble. She named me her 10th child after herself, but insisted on a different pronunciation, Anna, that she heard while pregnant with me. "Stop crying. You're 7 years old. Crying doesn't do any good." She bent over and kissed my cheek. I placed my hand over the spot to hold in her warmth as long as possible. Helpless, I watched her get into the beat-up Chevy with three of Dad's other followers. Along with the other kids and a few remaining adults, I watched them drive away, hoping Mom would turn around and wave or smile at me one more time. She didn't. My 13-year-old sister, Kathleen, took my hand, pulled me into the house, and did her best to comfort me. This wasn't her first time being left in charge of the kids in my mother's absence. Those of us left behind in Dallas were supported by the adult women in our group who worked at the family's used appliance business. Although the majority of the income generated from the family business went to my father. The sister wives, even nursing mothers, spent long days, often 12 to 14 hours of back-breaking labor at the store, just one of the many abuses they endured under my father's control. We children witnessed some of the other abuses, but all of us had been conditioned to keep silent. While the women were gone, Kathleen cared for me, Adine, Hiram, Celia, Marilyn, Manuel, Virginia, and other children of my mom's sister wives. To pass the time, Kathleen played